Hallelujah. Good to see everyone. I hope you came with your Bibles. Amen. And with a nice smile. Yep, the Bible says the wicked hardeneth his face. So when your face is hard, I know what you are. Amen. Well, Father, we want to thank you tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you because you open our eyes to behold the wondrous things that are in your word. Whether here, whether online, whether now, whether later. Thank you because indeed you anoint us. You anoint us to hear. You anoint us to obey in the name of Jesus. Thank you because indeed you will bring a turnaround to our lives in entirety in Jesus' name. And Lord, if there be anyone under the sound of my voice who is troubled by anything, physical ailment, social ailment, psychological ailment, whatever kind of ailment, let the unction of the Holy Ghost break it now in the name of Jesus. As your word goes forth, let there be healing of whatever sort in the name of Jesus, because you sent your word and you healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The praise and the glory be yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go to Genesis 8 very quickly. Genesis 8. I'm a little in a hurry because I want us to go through a number of scriptures. Some of them you are familiar with. Some you may not be as familiar with. But really tonight I'm speaking on the law of sowing and reaping. Can I hear you say the law of sowing and reaping? My concern, my stimulant, is that for some time it's been bugging me that there are a lot of people who don't sow, yet they expect to reap. It's been bugging me. I've actually thought, I didn't tell Pastor, you know, but many times that I've been around, I've wished to even take offering, and I thought, okay, let me share a few things there, but again, some of those things the timing might not be sufficient there to talk about those things. Okay? But so tonight, as I began to pray, you know, and prepare for this meeting, not tonight, but as I began to prepare for this meeting, I felt God saying, yeah, those things, talk about them. And then I also thought, okay, would I even still have enough time? You know, what exactly is the emphasis God wants me to put? And that's where I'm going to put that emphasis tonight. And then this morning, Ratobi sent me a write-up for the podcast. How many people have been listening or have the podcast at all? Or you've shared the podcast? Have you been listening to the podcast? I hope it's been a blessing to you, as it has been to me. You know, it's been an immense blessing to me, because what we've done is to take old messages. And it's amazing. I had to share with him one of the mornings, a friend in the UK who had shared the podcast with, listened and recorded a voice note and sent it, and said, I've been listening to the message. I've been going over one message again and again and again, because she says it's completely changing everything I knew. And I know I just have to sit there and listen again. It says I'm not even ready to move to another message yet. And all that. So I sent it to him so that he could be encouraged, you know, to know that what you're doing is helping people. But anyway, this morning, so back to my story. And if you haven't, it's not really just for you. It's for your friends. Amen. So please share with people. Tell them to download the podcast. And then weekly, a new message is uploaded onto that site. So he sent me there's usually a description of the message. So this morning also he sent me a description for the message to come up. And basically it had the law of sowing and reaping in it. So I knew that, okay, God really wants me to talk about this. I don't even remember the title of what he really sent, but the description of the content had that in it. Okay? So Genesis chapter 8. So really why we're talking about this is so that our finances or financial lives, like we like to say here, will be better. Can I have an amen? It's so that things will be better, so that we will have more results. We'll have more blessings in our lives. Can I have an amen? Good. So Genesis chapter 8. Okay, read from verse 20. Background before we read is that, just in case, because sometimes it's easy to assume that everybody knows, but I'm learning not to assume that everybody knows. How many people know what Genesis chapter 7 and chapter 8 is about? How many people know what it's about? Noah. How many people know the story of Noah? Very good. So Noah was a man on the surface of the earth, not too far from the beginning, okay? And then everybody was unrighteous. God was going to destroy the land. And Noah was a righteous man. And God says, this is a righteous man. I don't want him to be destroyed along with everybody else and everything else. So God told Noah to build an ark. Okay, basically God told Noah to build a ship. Okay, so Noah began to build a ship. Noah was not known as a ship builder. So it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter what you're trained to be. God can make you whatever he wants you to be. Can I have an amen? That does not negate training. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But it just says that God can make you whatever. Okay? The side journeys can be a blessing. Is it okay if I take a little side? Okay? Because I was also looking at it today. And I was studying, and I was reading about David. Okay, 1 Chronicles 23. And then I saw in 1 Chronicles 23 and verse 5 that David said that he had made musical instruments. He designed musical instruments for God, for people to worship God by. And I thought, that's the David who was a shepherd. Isn't it? That's the David that wrote songs. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But he didn't stop there. He actually also invented, that's the right word. David actually invented musical instruments. And I thought, how many sides did David have? So many, only because God was his inspiration. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So no matter what it is, God can help you. God can help you such that you do things and people will be amazed at what you do, as if you were an expert in that field and you are not. Can I have an amen? Okay, so basically God then told Noah, said, build this ship. And God gave Noah exact dimensions. Okay, basically God gave him exact instructions about how to build a ship. And he didn't just, Noah didn't begin by building a boat. Okay, the type that Mrs. Sarge would take to a farm. If you wanted to start, and you want to start in something like that, you would start with something small, isn't it? So that in case you put it on the stream or the river, it capsizes immediately. You will say, okay, I know what went wrong. Then you go back and start to build another one. But Noah started to build a ship so large that it was supposed to contain his extended family. A ship so large that it was supposed to contain every animal. Okay, every animal on the surface of the earth, at least two of each one. That is, the unclean ones were two, the clean ones were seven. So if he was going to take seven elephants, are you with me? Seven lions, seven this, two. So how many animals do you know? Now he's supposed to take all of that and put in that ship. And Noah was an amateur ship builder. And he built the ship. Can I hear you say he built the ship? And it didn't sink. How many people have ever heard about the Titanic before? You've heard about the Titanic. Okay, the younger people haven't heard about the Titanic. Okay, so the Titanic was the biggest ship to have been built at a time. I don't remember what year that was. Not too long ago, you know, a few decades ago. It's what, 30s? Okay, so a few decades ago, okay, they were going to build this massive ship. Now we have many big cruise ships and things. In fact, not even cruise ships. We have ships. Have you ever heard of container ships? You know, container ships contain, or they carry containers. Now, one container can have four cars inside it. And then it will have several containers on the ship. So ships have come a long way. But back then, they were going to build this ship that was going to be the biggest ship ever. and was going to carry people. So it was the biggest cruise ship. It will have people, it will have dining areas, it will have swimming pool, it will, you know, just a big hotel on the ocean. And the man who designed it, an expert, built it, and when he finished, I mean, tickets were sold out for the first, the first cruise, the first voyage. They had sold out all the tickets, and the man who built it bragged. He said, that ship can never sink, even God can't sink it. Are you hearing me? He said, this ship, oh, we know what we did here. He said, even God can't sink it. Guess what? The ship sank on his first trip. Are you with me? So I'm trying to help you to appreciate something. So don't worry. When I don't go so far, I'm talking about what? Do you still remember? The law of sowing and reaping. Okay? But I'm concerned also that many of the scriptures we'll be studying, I'm not going to be in a hurry. Okay? This is booster service. I won't be in a hurry. And one of the things I want you to grab here is that when we read some of these things, we move very fast when we're reading the Bible. Okay? And because we move very fast, we don't appreciate what really happened. All right? So now, when I told you about the Titanic, now go back to Genesis chapter 8 and realize that Noah, who knew nothing about shipping, built a ship so big and it didn't sink. As a matter of fact, the whole earth then became flooded for many days. And the ship that Noah built stayed up. They also have to take food, isn't it? They have to take enough food, not just for himself, but for the lions. Not just for the lion, for the elephant. Are you hear what I'm saying? So they had to have enough food for everything and everyone on that ship, and they were there for many days. There was absolutely no land on the surface of the earth. The whole surface of the earth was covered by water. And the ship did not sink. Okay? So, when the water began to recede and they could finally come out of the ship, that's what we are now reading about. Is that a good background? Okay, so go to Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. So Genesis 8:20 says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So, when the thing receded, Noah built an altar and he offered sacrifices to God. And when he offered the sacrifice to God, it moved God. Can I hear you say it moved God? It moved God so much that God then made a law. Okay? God made a law. Can I hear you say God made a law? My emphasis tonight is on that word law. Okay? It's on that word law. That God made a law of sowing and reaping. Because God then said, from this time forth, seed time and harvest shall never cease. Now, again, rewind a little bit to what we read. And see what moved God that God made a law. Okay? Never forget, this is now a law. All right? Because when you say seed time and harvest shall never cease from this time forth, that's a law. It means, hey, this is established. It's not going to change. Every time people sow seeds, they are going to reap a harvest. That's what God is saying. Because when there was water all over the ground, there is no sowing seed. You can't sow seed in that. You can't reap anything. And God says, from this time forth, sowing and reaping will be established as a law on the surface of the earth. When people sow, they will always, always, always reap. That's a law. A law is something that stands irrespective of who is dealing with it or who is not. Are you hear what I'm saying? Now, it says to us in the preceding verse, he said the hearts of the men were evil, but God says, despite that, I'm establishing a law. It means that this thing is going to work irrespective of the heart of the people working it. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you here? God is saying their heart is evil, but from this time forth, that evil heart will not stop this law that I'm establishing. Many times people have wondered sometimes, about certain people and said, why do the wicked prosper? Are you following what I'm saying? And some of those wicked people prosper also because they are operating within the law. That's what people call charity. That's what they call philanthropy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So there is a lot of sowing and reaping. It's not just financial, okay? A law is a law. Seed time and harvest is a law. And it's a law that goes or applies to many things. But let me first show you that part of why this moved God so much was because of the kind of sowing that Noah did at that time. Remember what we said. Everything had been destroyed. All that was left. Okay, so think about the old earth. All that was left were, at best, 7 of any type of animal. So, how many of you like goat meat? There were only 7 left. Are you following what I'm saying? Babaladiye, there were only 7 chickens left. Are you following me? Just 7 chickens, that's all. In the whole earth. So what will you do when you come out and you are Noah or his extended family? And somebody says, let's eat chicken and jollof rice. Chicken. You don't know we only have 7. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are not many. We can't just eat chicken. I feel like it. You say, don't feel like it. Don't feel. You can't feel like it. You understand? How many do we have? You can't just be feeling like, better kill that feeling. Bind the feeling. Because you can't just be feeling like eating chicken anytime, anyhow. But in that sense or atmosphere of scarcity, Noah came out and he took of every animal. Can I hear you say every? He took of everything and just killed them and offered them to God. So no scarcity mentality, no concern for the future. Are you following what I'm saying? He just came out of it and said, hey, God saved me from all of this trouble. God provided for me in the midst of this destruction. God has kept me and my family for this long. In the middle of this, everything has been wiped out. And he took out of every single animal and just offered it to God. Without concern for his future provision. Are you with me? So when he offered it and the thing was burnt, God was hearing, God said, this guy, Noah, wow. And then God said what? From this time forth, seed time and harvest shall never, never, ever, ever cease. So what moved God to make that law, to establish that law? A man, risked everything he had, didn't care about his own needs, and offered to God that much. Are you there? Are you there? Remember again, like I said, my emphasis is on what? Law. And that law then stretches beyond just money. In fact, Noah didn't have money. He offered animals. Okay? So if you read things like Matthew chapter 5 verse 7, it talks about the fact that blessed are the merciful. Okay? How many people know what's in Matthew chapter 5? The Beatitudes. Okay? The Beatitudes. The attitudes that need to be. Are we? In your life, the Beatitudes. Okay? And then God says what in verse 7? He says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall do what? Receive mercy. What is that? They sowed mercy, they receive mercy. Again, if you go to Luke chapter 6, verse 37, what does it say? Judge not, and you will not be judged. So meaning what? If you sow non-judgmental attitude, you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. What's that? That's the law of seed or sowing and reaping. That as you sow, you also reap. So condemn not, forgive not. What's it called? Be merciful. And what you are doing, you are going to reap. Can I have an amen? Go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. So I'm trying to establish for you clearly that this is a law. And a law means that there is no getting around it. All right? I told the story before. Some people were driving in the UK, and they saw red light, and it just went to pew, so let me quickly pass, and they passed the red light. And then the next thing you heard, siren, and then the police stopped them. And he said, did you see the red light? The guy said, yes. He said, and you passed the red light. The guy said, yes. Policeman said, the red light. He said, yeah. He said, why did you do that? He said, because where I come from, red means go. Did you know that they still arrested him? Huh? The law is the law. I mean, we don't care where you came from. This is the law of the land, isn't it? So if you broke the law of the land, then they will tell you what? You know, lawyer is sitting at the back there. They will tell you what? Ignorance is no excuse under the law. Are you with me? And what does that mean? It means that the law is working whether you know it or not. It's either working for you or it's working against you. But the law keeps working whether you know it or not. Romans chapter 8. Don't open that. Just Romans chapter 8. I'm just helping us to see something. Remember what I'm talking about, the law of sowing and reaping. And I said my emphasis is on the word law. Okay? Romans chapter 7. People like to quote that a lot. Romans chapter 7 from about the middle down. Paul began to lament. And he said, the things I want to do, I do not do them. The things I don't want to do, I want to do them. And the unfortunate thing is that a lot of believers like to quote that one. Are you with me? When somebody is getting drunk as a believer, I say, the things I want to do, I do not do them. The things I do not want to do, those are the ones that I do. Even Paul. So it's not me. Abi, I'm in good company because Paul wrote that. But what they forget is that, you see, when they wrote it, the whole Bible, or the, what do you call them, from the book of Romans down, were letters. Can I hear you say letters? Letters were letters that you write to people. When you write to people, you don't put chapter and verse. Am I right? Good. So Paul actually just wrote a letter. And all of his letter is him talking about things that were on his mind or things that concerned those people that he needed to explain. So he was explaining. And why did I say all what I said? I said it because you cannot read that place out of context in Romans chapter 7. When you read, as you read to the very end of Romans chapter 7, Paul then concludes. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will help me? And then he starts Romans chapter 8. He said, but I thank my God that through Christ Jesus, there is help. Basically, that's what he was saying. Okay, and then he went down and began to tell us that the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and of death. So he used the word law twice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's saying there was a law of sin and of death. That was what was operating in me when he was writing Romans chapter 7. That's what he was describing. He was describing himself without Christ. But the things I do not want to do are the things that I end up doing. The things I want to do, I don't do them. That is him before Christ. So he was then saying, who will help me? He said, but thank God Jesus came to help us. Okay? And now said, how did he help us? Jesus established a new law within me. There was an old law, which is the law of sin and death. What was he referring to? He was saying, I was helpless without Christ. I had to be subject to sin. I couldn't resist sin. As long as sin came and it knocked the door, I have to open. There's nothing I can do about it. So there's nothing shocking about sinners that sin. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Nothing is shocking about sinners sinning. Are you there? I mean, I was reading some years ago, I think it was about maybe 3 years ago. Three friends, they gathered, they said, let's go somewhere. And apparently, I see three or four of them. They had planned against one of them. So the two or three of them, I don't remember the exact number, wanted to get rich quick. So the fourth one was supposed to be their sacrifice. So they planned with that guy to say, oh, let's go, blah, blah, blah. And then when they got somewhere, they took the guy into the bush and they killed him. And part of the message is that they were supposed to hit him. They were supposed to kill him and eat to become rich. So it's when they had killed him and they were going to roast or whatever and then begin to eat when they were arrested in the bush. And then they were asking one of them, he said his only regret is that they had not eaten. You understand? So the regret is not that they killed their friend. His regret that he had not eaten before they caught him. So everything is in vain. At least if you are eating, we still have money. Abi? And then you think to yourself, how in the world does anybody begin or become like that? He's a sinner. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's a sinner. He has to obey the law of sin and death. I know that we expect him to obey moral laws, but when sin comes knocking and the law of sin kicks into action, he will find it very difficult to resist. Are you hearing me? Yes, the society expects us to obey certain moral laws, but very often that's why people find out that they keep falling flat on their faces trying to obey those laws. But when Jesus comes in, the law of life, can I hear you say the law? The law of life in Christ Jesus comes and it overrides the law. The compulsion to sin has been overridden in every believer. So the believer has the power to say no. He's still going to be exposed to temptation, but he has the power to say no and not obey. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When a plane goes up in the air, so some of the flights, I mean, I know many of us have been on the plane. Some of the flights will take, some of the regular flights, you know, Lagos, Abuja, will take maybe 100 people. Some planes take 500, some take about 800 people. Now, can you imagine 800 people sitting inside a big car? A long, big car. Just imagine. How many people have imagination? You have imagination? Eh? Use it for Bible study. Can I have an amen? Okay, I'm describing law because we're talking about the law of sowing and reaping. So I'm talking about the fact that that law, as established from Genesis chapter 8, is a law. And God says that even in spite of their evil heart, that despite the evil heart, I'm establishing a law. Meaning that this thing is going to be working on the earth from now henceforth. Meaning that people, even who are sinners, are going to sow and they will reap. Are you following what I'm saying? And I've also established the fact that that law of sowing and reaping is a general law. It's not just finances. It applies to everything. So we've seen Matthew chapter 5 that talks about if you are merciful, you receive mercy. We've seen Luke chapter 6 that talks about if you don't condemn, you won't be condemned. If you don't judge, you won't be judged. If you forgive, you will also receive forgiveness. That's the law in action. He's saying what you give out is what you get. Are you following what I'm saying? That's how a law works. And then I'm giving you another example of how a law works. But when the law is there, if it's a law, it's powerful. So the law of life in Christ Jesus, once it came in place, it overrode the law of sin and of death. Okay, so if you just joined, you've caught up with us now, isn't it? So I said, imagine yourself in a car. Long car. In fact, don't let's go there first. Imagine yourself in the luxurious bus. You know, the nice luxurious bus. Abi, how many people does a luxurious bus carry? How many people? Say it now. Say it. Don't worry. You can be wrong. It doesn't matter. Nobody else knows the answer, so you can be wrong. 54. Good. Okay. So imagine the 54 of you sitting in a luxurious bus. And that luxurious bus is going, and then it begins to lift off the ground. And the driver tells you, this is a new type luxurious bus, Mercedes-Benz. It's new model. It can fly. And then it lifts off the ground. Some of you begin to pray. Have you? Now, imagine that luxurious bus at the height of the shopping building behind us. By that time, what are you praying? The tongues of angels. Now, imagine that luxurious bus, because I don't want to use figures. I'm not very good with judging distances in figures and all that. So I guess many people are like me. So if I said at 1,000 feet, how many people can imagine 1,000 feet? Okay, very good. Yeah. Okay, so I mean, nobody else raised their hands to imagine 1,000 feet. How tall am I? 6 feet. Just a little over 6 feet. So multiply me by 1,000. So imagine that bus at that height. And you are going. Now, the plane actually flies at about 30-something thousand feet. So at 30-something thousand feet, and the plane doesn't carry 54 people. The ones you see, normally the person going to Abuja, you carry 100, you know, 150 people. And then the bigger ones will carry 500 people. So imagine 500 of you at 35,000 feet. Now, some of you can't even jump. Now, why can't you? How many people can jump and suspend yourself in the air? Just jump and stay there. You can do that, I give you 10,000 naira. You can't. Why can't you? Because there's a law. What's the law? What does the law of gravity say? Lala torokes, ilelombos. Okay? Lala torokes, ilelombos. Have you? What does that mean? Everything that goes up must come down. So there's something pulling it down. That's a law. It's saying, come down, come down, come down. That's why the mango is going to fall after a while. As it ripens, something is pulling it, and what is holding it is going to weaken over time, and the mango is going to fall. Are you following what I'm saying? So why doesn't that plane fall? Because engineer will tell us there's another law that overrides that first law. That's called the law of what? Lift. So at a certain speed, another law comes into place that takes the plane up and keeps it up despite the law of gravity. I'm saying laws are in action whether you know it or not. I don't need to know the law of lift. But the plane had better stay there. You understand what I'm saying? I don't even ask the pilot, do you understand? Do you know the law of lift? Okay, do you know the law of lift? And I say, he doesn't even know the law, I'm not going again. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whether you know the law of lift, and I can guarantee you 98% of the people on that plane don't know the law of lift. But the law is working for them. Are you following what I'm saying? So the law of sowing and reaping is a law. Can I hear you say it's a law? And it will work for you whether you know it or not. Are you still there? Now go to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. So we'll look at a few more scriptures. We're establishing it. Remember what I said. I'm teaching on the law of sowing and reaping. And my emphasis is on the law. Because once we get it right and we understand fully well that there's a law. There's a law of sowing and reaping. Then the next thing to ask yourself is, how can I make use of that law? Okay? So for the, what do you call it? The aeronautic engineer is the man that needs to know that there is a law of lift. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the, because the aeronautic engineer is aware of a law of lift, he's asking himself, how do I maximize the law of lift to ensure that I can design a plane that flies smoothly, flies easily, uses even less fuel because of the laws in operation that he understands. Are you following what I'm saying? I am enjoying the law of lift when I get on a plane, but I can't maximize it. I can't make a plane. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I do not understand the law, but the man who understands the law can design planes and be paid for it, good money, can design even better ones than the ones he did last time because he understands the laws there in operation. So the reason why I need to know and understand the law of sowing and reaping as a law is so that I can maximize it. Psalm 126. Okay, verse 5. It says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Verse 6 is my emphasis. It says, he who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall what? Doubtless. Can I hear you say that word again? Say it out loud. What does doubtless mean? Eh? Don. Abi? Eh? Daju. By all means. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He that goes continually bearing seed for sowing shall doubtless come again. Can I hear you say come again? With rejoicing, bringing sheaves. That is bringing a harvest with him. The word doubtless means this is a law. It means he's going and he's bearing the seeds. He's weeping. It's difficult. It's tough for him to sow those seeds. But doubtless he's coming back. Are you hearing me? It means that seeds sown are not lost. Remember what I said? Applies in all areas of life. I think some years ago I was preaching on that from Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. That don't be deceived. A man's harvest in life depends entirely on the seeds that he sows. And I was talking about the fact that your life is about sowing and reaping in general. Okay? When you sow a lot into studying, you become an A student. Sowing and reaping. When you are a very nice person in the neighborhood, everybody becomes nice to you. Sowing and reaping. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's whatever you pour into, whatever you sow into, that determines the kind of harvest that is coming back in your life. So if you don't like the things that you are seeing in your life, check the seeds that you have been sowing. Are you following what I'm saying? So for instance, one of the most confusing things I've seen is people who say, I want to have great faith, but they spend no time in God's word. They don't spend any time planting the seed of God's word in their heart, but they wish they had great faith. They have time for movies. They have time for so many things, but they don't have time to spend in God's word, but they want great faith. And it's very confusing because I'm thinking, really? If you don't like the harvest that you are having now, check the seeds that you have been sowing in the past. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Even in relationships. Matthew 7 verse 12, what does it talk about? It says, look, if you want somebody to be one way to you, okay, it says you take the initiative. I think if you read the message, it reads that way. It said, take the initiative and do it first. Are you following me? Meaning that everything is about seed sowing and harvest. Do it first, and you'll find out that as you are doing it, after a while, you start reaping a harvest of the same thing from those people. Can I have an amen? Have you ever tried walking in and just smiling at people? Have you ever tried that before? That when you just walk into a place, you smile. Good morning. Have you seen that? How many times do you smile at people and they frown back at you? Eh? I mean, not person wise. I'm just joking. Are you with me? I've even found that, you know, one of the interesting things I've seen is that when you sit with somebody and you're talking and the person begins to yawn, then you begin to yawn too. Have you noticed that thing before? That you're just with somebody and then you two do it. You were not yawning before. There's something. Life is about sowing and reaping. Are you there? So it says to us, he who continually goes forth. No, so also not the word continually. Okay? There's a consistency there. All right? He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing. So again, when people say God loves a cheerful giver, that's correct. But it doesn't mean that the non-cheerful giver will not receive a harvest for what he got, for what he sowed. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? He didn't say that there'll be no harvest because you were not cheerful. In fact, somebody was saying that if you're always cheerful when you are giving, you haven't given big yet. He said when God lays on your heart to give certain things, they are not easy to give cheerfully. There are certain seeds that when God tells you to give it, you know, so when God spoke to Abraham, Genesis 22, Abby, he said, sow your son, your only son. The way I like to think about it is that as God was saying it, Abraham was thinking. So when God said, Abraham, sow your son, Abraham was thinking, it's the only one I have. God said, your only son. He said, but I love him. God said, the one you love. You understand? So yeah, you can obey, but I don't think Abraham was taking Isaac up that mountain and he was dancing. This is that day. Woo, this is that. I don't think he was doing that. I think the man was just walking. God, you know, you promised me that from Isaac will all my seed come. This is that Isaac that you said I should kill. This is the Isaac. Oh God, it's not. I don't have two Isaac. This is that the same Isaac you promised. You have to raise him from the dead. Say you know, because I will kill him. But as you said, and if I kill him, you better raise him from the dead. So he was just walking and thinking and walking and thinking. It was Isaac that said, Papa, where is the animal for sacrifice? God will provide. God will provide, you know. But it doesn't mean that God will not bless the seed. He loves the cheerful giver, but the law of sowing and reaping is always in operation. Can I have an amen? Galatians chapter 6. Let's read that again. I think we'll read a few more scriptures and then I can round up in 5 minutes and then I'll finish the next time. Galatians chapter 6. Okay, so don't let's read anything into the Bible that is not there. It's correct, he loves the cheerful giver, but he didn't say that the non-cheerful will not receive a harvest for the seed sown. Okay, but the cheerful giver gladdens his heart because it means that when you are giving cheerfully, it means you know God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It means you trust God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It means that even when it's a big seed, even when it's your last seed, the only reason why you could be cheerful is because you know that God is faithful. And that gladdens his heart. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. Hallelujah. Galatians 6. And verse 7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Does that sound like a law? Huh? Don't be deceived. Don't even for a moment think it's not so. Whatever, can I hear you say whatever? Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Hallelujah. I want to read you one or two more versions. Okay? Let me read you the ERV. It says, if you think you can fool God, you're only fooling yourselves. You will harvest what you plant. You will harvest what you plant. The Passion Translation says, God will never be mocked. For what you plant will always be the very thing that you harvest. What you plant will always be, can I hear you say always? The very thing that you harvest. Hallelujah. So let me now try to begin a roundup, okay? Because now when we now take it and we put it in the realm of finances, remember where I started from? My thinking and my concern was to see you blessed. And when you take this law in the realm of finances, I get concerned when I see people trying to dodge giving. Do you understand what I'm saying? When I see people begin to dodge giving, I had to talk to somebody recently, and I said, do you even tithe at all? I don't care what your tithe is. We have never asked anybody to fill a tithe card so we can monitor you. And we know, and maybe we even send somebody to check in your office what your salary is, so that we know whether you pay the correct tithe. Okay? And I told the person, I said, you have to move. There has to be a progression. You have to show that you believe God's word. If you expect God to bless you, you have to be able to show him that you trust him and you believe his word is true. Are you hear what I'm saying? And you must find ways to begin to give more than you used to, because there is a law. Hallelujah. So some have taught, for instance, that 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let's open it for the sake of those who may not know it, so that if tomorrow you then hear somebody talk like this, you don't get confused and think that, yeah, that's true. One of the things I found is that people who have worked with God for some time, consistently, and our givers never look for how not to give. You understand what I'm trying to say? They don't look for how not to give. Okay, let me put it another way. I found that people who are always interested in a revelation that tells them they don't have to give is because they don't give. Anyway, you understand what I'm saying? So they are trying to justify they are not giving. But they don't give. In most churches, the people who criticize the finances the most are the ones who give the least. You have gone very quiet now. Eh? I'm in very serious areas. Are you with me? So when they say, oh, tithing is of the law, we don't have to tithe. Someone said, I told you, check, he was not tithing before. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He was not tithing before. All this, it's because he wasn't doing it. The person who is saying, no, he was tithing, and he doesn't want to stop. Do you understand what I'm trying to point out to you? He was already doing it. He already is blessed for doing it. He doesn't want to stop doing it. And he's saying, why is this guy trying to stop me from doing it? The one who wasn't doing it, said, we told you. It's because he wasn't giving. Are you with me? It looks like I'm stepping on toes. Eh? Jesus will heal it. Can I have an amen? So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The Bible says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. So people say, well, Jesus became poor so that I might be rich, so I'm already rich. I don't need to sow to become rich. You've heard it before. The way you are looking at me, you know. I don't need to sow. Jesus has already done it for me. I don't need to sow. Jesus did not abrogate the law. of sowing and reaping. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, Jesus already gave me a foundation for being blessed. But it doesn't remove the law of sowing and reaping. And if I stand on the foundation of the blessing that Jesus has already given me, my sowing should even give me more reaping. Are you following what I'm saying? It should even work better for me than for the person who doesn't even know God. Hallelujah. So look at what Paul then had to say. Philippians chapter 4. Maybe Paul wrote 2 Corinthians. Abi? So he's the one that wrote that. The same Paul that wrote this. So meaning that one, yes, is part of my redemptive rights that he became rich or he became poor so that I, through his poverty, might become rich. That's part of my redemptive rights or inheritance. Okay? But he does not remove this one of sowing and reaping. So the man who wrote that revelation, that this is what happened at redemption, also wrote to the Philippians here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 16. We like verse 19, isn't it? My God shall supply all your needs, blah, blah, blah. But you know, verse 19 begins with the word what? And. Can I hear you say and? And. What does and mean? It means that the things I've been saying before are important to this thing that I'm saying now. And means that you can't take what follows and by itself. You have to go back and see what I said before that goes with and. So, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Why? Go and see what he said before. Are you still here? So what did he say before? Look at verse 16. He said, for even in Thessalonica, you sent aid, or you sent once and again for my necessities. He said, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's saying here that you were giving. And I'm not concerned about my needs. You were giving to meet my needs, but that's not my concern. He said, my concern when I'm talking about the giving is that that giving brings about a blessing or brings about some reward to your account. You understand that? He's saying as you were giving, it's like you were making deposits into an account. That is why I am emphasizing that giving. That's what Paul was telling them. He said, I thank God you were giving again and again. He said, but I'm not saying I thank God because my needs were being met. I'm saying I thank God because that means that some deposit was entering your account. So the law. The law. Can I hear you say the law? It means that law of sowing and reaping was working for you as you were giving. That's what Paul was saying. Okay, let me quickly read that in one or two translations. Again, the ERV. Says, several times you sent to me things I needed when I was in Thessalonica. Verse 17. Really, it is not that I want to get gifts from you, but I want you to get the benefits. Can I hear you say benefits? He said, but I want you to get the benefits that come from giving. I want you to get the benefits that come from giving. Hallelujah. The CEV version, I think it was, says, I'm not trying to get something from you, but I want you to receive the blessings that come from giving. Hallelujah. So let's try to stop it on Luke 6:38. Luke 6:38. Jesus speaking here says, well, let's start it from verse 37. I spoke about it earlier, but it's still the same law. Okay? It's still the same law. Luke 6:37. It says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Then verse 38, he also adds on what? Give. Just following the same law. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure, the law. If I plant three seeds of maize. How many maize cobs? I mean, what do I expect to reap? A plantation? No, it's just three seeds I planted. At best, if it grows, I get maybe one maize plant. Maybe I get two or three maize cobs. I chop them. And that's the end, Sefini. Abi? I can't be compared to the person who is going and planting and planting and planting and planted so many seeds. He has a farm. May I just put three seeds in the ground behind my house, then I'm looking at it, it's not even fair. Not even fair. How can he have a farm? It's what he put in the ground. How many people can see what I'm talking about tonight? That there's a law. Hallelujah. There's a law. It says, for with the same measure you give, it shall be measured back to you. We're going to talk about, you know, two, three things next time as I wrap up the message. The next time that I teach on this. Amen. To tell us. And what I'm trying to do is break something. Break something. That giving is not about who or what you are giving to alone. Are you hear what I'm saying? It's good to give to good causes, but it's not about who or what you are giving to alone. It's actually doing something for you. Hallelujah. It's bringing about a blessing to you. And I have an amen. Let's stand on our feet tonight. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. And think about his grace that brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's. Great is the measure of my Father's love. Great is the measure of my Father's. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's. Great is the measure of our Father's love.
Great is the measure.